Ringers.
Where must my quest take me, O wise wizard Gandalf?
Far, young hobbit, but it will be worth it. You must set out west from the Shire towards the ford of Broynan. Beyond that, you will come to the Misty Mountains. Many a young hobbit has perished there. But have courage, and you will not. Press deeper and deeper into the gloom until you gaze upon Pelennor Fields. For beyond that, like the bridge of Khazad Dûm and the fiery Mount Doom of Mordor, where your quest will be at an end.
And you're definitely sure I'll find someone there who thinks the war with Iraq is a good idea?
Oh, yes, you should do. But having said that, even the orcs are having second thoughts.
As your mayor for London, I'm right behind the capital's bid to host the Olympics in 2012. Now, 2.5 billion may seem a lot of taxpayers' money, but it's not. It's actually an enormous, obscene amount of taxpayers' money, but that's never stopped me. And I believe that the Olympic events should be tailored to London's unique qualities as a sporting venue.
Hello, I'm Barry Davis. Oh, extraordinary. And the first event here at the London Olympics is the weightlifting. Now it's Tarkasov, the favourite. The dumbbell is up. Oh, but hang on! The piece of ground he lifted it from has increased in value so much in the last few seconds, he can't afford to put it back down again. Oh, my word, he's got to carry it to a bedsit in Leytonstone. And over to Brendan Foster at the triathlon.
Thanks, Barry. And for these Olympics, instead of the normal cycling, running and swimming, we've the far more demanding triathlon of cycling, bus and mini-cab. Performed, of course, by Londoners to try to get into town whenever the tube screwed. Already a few of the athletes have found it too much. Sutter Meyer of Cuba has been overcome by armpit fumes on the number 55 bus. Strunz of Austria, his mini-cab driver thought he'd said Clacton and not Clapham. Over to Claire Balding, who by the sound of things is at the rifle range.
Well, in fact, Brendan, I'm not. I was actually on my way to the three-day eventing, but my horse took a wrong turn and we've ended up in Walthamstow. We're going to just hide here in a lock-up while John Motson brings us some breaking news.
Indeed, very much so, in fact, and I'm afraid these London Olympics have already been rocked by a drug scandal. Yes, Dodgy Steve and his mate Phil from Stockwell have run out of drugs. What with all these cyclists, sprinters and shot putters in town, they just couldn't cope. And, interestingly enough, that's the first time that South London's nightclubs will have been drug-free since 1948.
Hello and welcome to Newsnight. I'm Kirsty Wark. My ding-a-ling, I want you to play with my ding-a-ling. More on that story later. But first, the Tories this week stepped up their campaign to stop the flow of violent immigrants into Britain. I'm joined now by Ian Duncan Smith.
That's right, Kirsty. Every night they flood in across the channel.
Yes, but surely the authorities at Dover...
No, not that channel. I'm talking about the Nickelodeon channel. It's cartoon characters sneaking into this country that I want stopped.
Hey, Boo-Boo. I've got an idea.
What's that, Yugi?
Let's go steal a picnic basket, because I'm smarter than the average bear.
You see what I mean? Everybody knows that the cartoon bears who are today purloining a single picnic basket will tomorrow be running prostitutes and controlling a vicious crack empire on the streets of Britain.
No, they won't.
But what about the dozens of roadrunners brazenly flouting the law by entering Britain every night?
Meet me.
There goes another one. I mean, what chance do the customs men trying to chase them have? Just as soon as they block up one tunnel, they just paint another one on the side of the next hill.
And Whittaker has also joined the chorus of voices demanding action.
Yes, I most certainly have, Kirsty. Many of them have links to a known international terror organisation, ACME.
Now, come on, Miss Whittaker, aren't you just trying to scare people by playing on their most basic fears?
No, not at all. Why do you say that?
Well, why else have you lured all us reporters to this spooky abandoned fairground, and why are you dressed as a ghost?
Curses foiled again, and I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for you pesky Newsnight presenters.
Ruby, Ruby, Roo.
Later this evening on Channel 4, we have a fascinating documentary about Neanderthal creatures and their primate mating rituals. That's Wife Swap, tonight at 9. But first, it's time for a new series of Jackass.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville, and this is Jackass, just another reason why America shouldn't be allowed to have nuclear weapons. Okay, so last week on the show, Wee Man jumped headfirst off a 10-story building wearing nothing but a diaper. He's dead.
Sounds like you're short one stupid suicidal idiot then, Johnny. Could I be the one being mamer-fried this week?
Hey, aren't you that American president dude?
Yes, I am. But I'm sick of chasing Saddam and his penguins of mass destruction. I want to have some fun. Come on, Jackass and Bush. Two words meant to go together.
Well, I don't know if you're dumb enough, dude.
Oh, come on. Come on, please. My whole staff love Jackass. Condoleezza Rice and Donald Rumsfeld never missed a chance to sprayify me with mace. And then stand around laughing as I writhe in agony on the Oval Office floor. Please let me be your stupid sidekick.
Sorry, dude, I can't help you. Someone's already taken the wee man's place.
Who?
Me, that is who. This is why I really came to America, George. To join the cast of Jackass, Slack Jaw, Inbred Grin, Stars and Stripes Forever Underpants.
My name is Greg Dyke.
Bring back the wooden tops. Yeah, all right. But they'd have to be made out of plastic. Now, the British Board of Boxing Control has threatened to revoke the licences of any trainer who participates in one of BBC Two's televised fights. So, I've cancelled the next two scheduled fights. It's not because I'm worried for the participants' safety, no. It's because I'm taking the sport underground. That's right, these fights are now going to take place far from prying eyes where no one will even know that they're going on. Yes, BBC Three. Oi, Entob, you better have a very good reason for slipping that iron bar into your boxing gloves.
BBC, Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. With this voice, I am spoiling you. Now it's time for the Archers. And down at the Bull, Clary and Eddie are discussing the imminent arrival of Ambridge's new vicar.
Clary, what's up, girl? You look worried.
Oh, Eddie, I am! Because it's certain whoever ends up being appointed our vicar, there'll be a needlessly controversial choice, just like Janet was.
Why's that?
Because the listeners will have to endure months of clumsily written storylines about acceptance and tolerance until those prejudices are forgotten about for no reason as the new vicar is accepted into the community.
No, I'm sure it won't be a controversial choice. Here comes the new vicar. Oh, no, it's another woman. Look at the long hair.
Sharon, where the f*** am I? And who are you calling a woman, mate? I'll tell you, whatever this place is, it's freaking me out. Because everywhere I look, there's people who look just like my kids. And they keep mooing at me.
Hang on, you're our new vicar?
Oh, couldn't you start with some easy questions first, love? I've had a f***ing hard day.
No, we can't have him as our vicar. How annoying will it be having to listen to some old brummy wittering on and on and on?
Now, vicar, do you realise that your ministry here will also include Borchester, Felpersham and Penny Hassett?
Oh, great, it'll be just like Sabbath all over again. Out on the road, a new town every night, psychedelic drugs, groupies, bringing buy sales.
Can I ask what you practice?
Standing up normally.
You, everyone, come quick. There's some sort of terrible beast loose in the village.
Have you seen it, Joe?
No, but it must be huge and have razor-sharp teeth, because it's bitten the head off all my ferrets.
What's everybody suddenly looking at me for?
Reception.
Hello, is that the New York casting agent that helps folks get into big movies?
Yes, it is.
Oh, good. My name's Ashley Peacock, and I've got a very intense storyline going on at the moment.
Okay.
And I wanted to put myself forward to take part in some class in acting roles in big movies.
What you could do, you could send a headshot and a resume.
A headshot's not really a good thing to say at the moment because your wife got knocked on the head by the actor who used to play Mr. Hopwood in Grange Hill. Do you need me to send some references in for you? I know that Mike Baldwin and Toya Battersby would be prepared to put a word in for me.
Okay, well, you could maybe write a letter and you could say that they will.
Would that have any sway, would it?
It may, I'm not sure. Definitely send anything you think will help.
Do you accept any auditions?
No, we don't.
Make me day, punk.
I'm sorry?
Make me day, punk.
No.
What do you think of this one here? Of all gin joints in Old World, you had to walk into mine. What do you think of that?
That was great.
Hasta la vista, baby.
That one needs a little work.
At my signal, unleash hell.
I'm sorry?
At my signal, unleash hell.
I don't understand what you're saying.
No, that was like what Russell Crowe said when he was gladiator.
Oh.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, because there's folks in the shop that need serving.
I'm going to have to hang up.
I'll be back.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. If you step to me, you're going to get burnt. The headlines again. Hans Blix delivered his report this week, suggesting that Iraq was not complying with UN conditions, even though inspectors hadn't found any weapons. I'm not surprised. He's not very good. He inspected me for weapons once. All he found was my blade, my Glock pistol, and the genital clamp I'd borrowed from Jamie Theakston. He completely missed the 3 tons of chemical warheads I kept hidden round the back of BBC Six Music. It's the perfect hiding place because no one ever goes anywhere near it. For the same reason, I've got a whole bag of anthrax stuffed up the new presenter of Go For It. And now here's you and yours.
Hello and welcome to You and Yours. I'm John Waite.
And I'm Liz Barclay. And today, another load of moaning about stuff that could go wrong.
That's right, and I've got quite a gentle voice, so I'll introduce it and set the scene without frightening everybody.
And then I'll finish the sentence in my quite abrasive style, scaring you all half to death with my dire warnings.
But first, with only 330 shopping days left until Christmas, we'll be asking whether the high street consumer gets a fair deal.
Or whether he's being ripped off by evil minions of Satan, hell-bent on sucking out your soul.
Or, as the rest of us call it, being asked if you want an extended warranty in Dixon's.
Hello and welcome to another BBC Two history programme with me, Dr. Simon Sharma, the highest paid Thunderbird puppet there's ever been. Today, we're looking once again at the tumultuous 16th century and, of course, that great century's most famous woman. Born at Greenwich Palace in September 1533, this East Londoner would go on to rule during what was described as the Golden Age of England, a time of great achievement and prosperity. I'm speaking, of course, about...
Cat Slater!
It certainly is not Cat Slater. The person I'm referring to is Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh, yeah, well, that's where you're wrong, Four Eyes. You see, not just content with giving us all the storylines in their soaps and in all their news, it's now BBC policy that all historical events have to be Slater-related too. Isn't that right, Catherine of Aragon?
Yeah, too right, Cat. All of history is Slater-related now.
Yeah. So now I'm having an affair with Lord Burley, who's cheating on me with Alfie, who's blackmailing me because he's found out the princes in the Tower are not my nephews, but are, in fact, my illegitimate sons from my affair with King Harold, who looked to me for comfort in 1066 after he got shot in the eye by Lisa, who was really aiming at Phil, who was with Zoe, but who had run away to Edinburgh with Mary Queen and Scots because she found out that Charlie was having an affair with the wife of King Alfred, who, in an hilarious Shakespearean comedy scene, burnt the cakes with Barry, who was dressed like a chicken, and Henry VIII is engaged to my Lynn, who is cheating on her with Anne Boleyn.
This is utterly preposterous. There is no place for over-the-top, one-dimensional characters like you in history programmes.
Oh, yeah? Then how do you explain him?
I'm Dr. David Starkey.
BBC, Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Coming up next, we join Ned Sherrin for Loose Ends. But that won't be for those of you listening on Longwave, because you'll be too busy sacrificing a fatted calf and dancing naked in the moonlight in the hope of appeasing the god of broadcasting, who in his fiery wrath has spread plague, pestilence and endless trails of digital radio across the land. But for the rest of you, here's Ned Sherrin.
Good evening and welcome to Loose Ends, and the next 45 minutes promise to be a lively mix of chat and music. My guests may come from every corner of the entertainment world, but they do all share at least one thing in common. They are Dame Maggie Smith, Dame Judi Dench, Dame Diana Rigg, Dame Edna Everidge, Damien Hirst, Damien the Omen 2, Dame Saturn Match, Damed If I Do, Damed If I Don't.
I'm very sorry, listeners, but it seems Ned Sherrin has somehow got stuck in Dame mode.
Dame Le Chrysler Motors, Dame See and Make Peace, Dame Arara Sugar.
I'm afraid we will have to leave Ned there, but instead we can play you an episode of Quote Unquote, postponed from last week, as we've now managed to get Nigel Rees out of pedantic SWAT mode.
My name is Greg Dyke, and I am Director General of the BBC.
Bring back Camberwick Green. In the middle of a fire strike, are you bleating mad?
Now, this week, there was a lot of belly aching because the dreaded C word was finally said on BBC TV. But don't think I didn't agonise about allowing it to be broadcast, because I did. Yes, I watched that programme many times before it went out. I found it to be dark and disturbing. But the C word was not used in a sensational way. No, it wasn't. In fact, I think that is one of the best episodes of Blue Peter I've ever seen.
Oh, Yentop, why does this tea you've just made me taste of almonds?
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. We all have bacteria inside us, good and bad. Mine are very, very bad. And now Dame Judi Dench stars as Gladys Wistful and Martin Jarvis as her husband Nigel Wistful in Something's Troubling Me by William Churnthemout.
Gladys, darling, are you all right? You look like something is troubling you.
Yes, yes, something is troubling me, darling. You see, we've been here for the past 20 minutes aimlessly chatting to one another with no obvious purpose or energy or direction.
Yes, I know we have, but that's nothing to worry about. Well, that's always the case with radio drama.
Yes, yes, I know it is, but this is a comedy.
Is it? Oh, dear. I didn't get a chance to look at the front of the script before we started. Oh, dear, that is embarrassing. Oh, hang on, Judy, I've had a thought. We could turn this into a drama.
But won't the listener notice?
Well, I won't wake her up if you don't.
Well, yes, why not? We all deserve better than this. So, let's think. What do we need to turn it into a drama? Create a dramatic story arc that will propel our characters to a rich and satisfyingly dramatic conclusion, as numerous narrative threads are intricately woven together for a stunning climax.
Of course not. We just push this button. There we are. Seagulls in the distance. Oh, this is definitely a BBC drama now. Oh. You see, the only real difference between the drama and the comedy is that drama has more sound effects. Gladys, darling, are you all right? You look like something is troubling you.
Well, yes, actually, something is. I've just realised that 60 years from now, my great-grandchildren are still going to be listening to this rubbish on BBC 7.
Hello and welcome to Film 2003. I'm Jonathan Wass, the Dulux colour chart from hell.
Martin Scorsese's epic Gangs of New York has picked up 11 BAFTA nominations. So delighted has he been by this that he's announced plans for a very British sequel.
This was a violent, lawless time, a time when broadcasting was in its infancy and the airwaves were ruled by the gangs of Radio 4.
Hello, I'm John Humphreys. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be getting six bells kicked out of us by the look of it.
John, they've got us cornered.
Yes, well, they're bigger and stronger than us, and their handlebar moustaches are far more menacing. I knew taking on Woman's Hour was a mistake. If only we had something to throw in their path to distract them. Oh, hang on, I've got it.
What is it?
Thought for the Day with Rabbi Lionel Blue. We won't miss it.
Oh, good morning, John, and good morning, Jim, and a special good morning to Jenny Murray, who is currently sitting on my chest, carving the words, hands off his mine, into my forehead.
But all the gangs agreed one man was feared above all others.
Me, Brian the Butcher Perkins. BBC Radio 4, it was born on the streets. And now, excess baggage.
I'm Sandy Toksvig, the original Hobbit. And welcome to Excess Baggage. This week, rambling. Don't worry, it's just the way I always talk. But first, in a desperate bid to stop more middle-class travel journalists coming on and telling us about pretentious places, we're looking at some British days out. Brian Sewell, you've been to the Staffordshire countryside. How did you get there?
Because you kidnapped me, Sandy.
You're absolutely right, I did. And what did you see?
I saw nothing until you took the blindfold off. But I ended up somewhere called Alton Towers.
And would you recommend it?
Well, put it like this. I queued 3 hours in a big wavy line for the local transportation systems, which were constantly crammed with errant children, and then travelled at tremendous speed, making it absolutely impossible to appreciate the surroundings.
So you won't be going again, Brian?
Oh, yes. And next time I'll give myself enough time to go on Space Mountain as well.
Next week, we'll be talking about hardship holidays, and we'll be talking to someone who spent 3 weeks in a Turkish prison.
Yes, that's all right, sweetheart. And I've already booked myself in for next year as well.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Are you the actor known as Peter Davison? Oh, thank goodness for that. I'm sorry, I'm calling you from a situation of extreme peril, you see. I'm telephoning you from 1981.
Right.
And I've just fallen off a radio telescope.
Oh, yes, I remember that very
Yes,
well.
And I'm supposed to be regenerating into you. Mm-hmm. But because of the Master, he has decreed, and he's in league with the BBC, and I'm about to regenerate into Martin Jarvis, or even worse, Robson Green. Who knows? But I just wondered if I could make contact with you, my future self, and we could concentrate very hard and make sure that I don't regenerate into Robson Green.
I'm sure I'll be very happy to help in any way I can.
I need to be one with you.
Yes.
My future self, I need you to concentrate with me, and it's the only way to be sure that I will change into you.
Right.
I need to feel your essence deep into my being.
I need to see my contract.
Are you concentrating?
I am concentrating.
I'm trying very hard. Not to change into Martin Jarvis or Robson Green.
God forbid.
But I think it's working.
I can see myself there.
No, in fact, I think it's worked the other way, and I've turned back into John Pertwee. Well, I must say, thank you very much. I've had the time of my life.
Great pleasure.
And I've turned back into me again. Maybe I'll just stay like this. Thanks. Goodbye, my friend.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to The Choice with me, Michael Burke. I have with me Mr. Reginald Thwap.
Hello.
Reginald was a successful businessman who owned a string of car salerooms. Mm. But after they went bankrupt in 1998, he was faced with a terrible choice.
Hang on 1 second, Burke.
On The Choice now, I've been joined for some reason by John Humphreys.
Wait a minute, this loser's obviously on the ropes. You must have made up that bit about him having a choice so you could get him on your miserable 9 a.m. show.
I really didn't have much of a choice, did I? Yes, you did. You clearly had a terrible choice.
He belongs to my miserable 9 a.m. show. You were on the ropes, weren't you? You were, Reggie. Say yes, say yes, say yes.
Well, yes. I mean, I was on the ropes.
You faced a terrible choice.
Well,
Well, not really.
Ow!
Right, there, I punched you. You can't say you haven't got a choice now, Richard. Will you stay down there quivering or get up and punch back?
Right, well, I've shot him through the kneecap, so now he's got no choice about getting up. How much more on the ropes can you get?
Put me through hell, you two.
Great. Which means you can appear with me, Fergal Keane, on my new miserable 9 a.m. show, Taking a Stand. Hello, and welcome to the ITV News with me, Trevor MacDonald. Slim Fast News, available in vanilla, chocolate, and new caramel flavour. After losing Michael Barabar, John Leslie, and perhaps Matthew Kelly, ITV bosses have admitted that they're severely restricted in their search for replacement hosts for their Saturday night shows. So they say they're going to play it safe.
Yes, we've got a great Saturday night lineup for you here on ITV. At 6:45, we've got a new series of Blind Date with a brand new host.
Hello, loves. It's Dora here. Now, tonight, we hope to bring someone special into the life of our Katie, a 22-year-old legal secretary who dresses like a cheap whore.
While at 7:45, it's the new series of Stars in Their Eyes with a brand new host.
Hello, loves. Dora here. Oh, yes, we've some very ordinary people who are going to go through that door, but they'll emerge from the smoke as someone they thought they could never be. That's right, a God-fearing Christian. God bless, love.
While at 8:30, a new series of Pop Idol, where the freshest young talent perform in the hopes of being propelled to stardom.
Hello, loves. It's Thora here. I don't see why grey hair, wrinkles and memories of the First World War should keep me off this show. I mean, it's never stopped Pete Waterman.
It's me again, Greg. Now, I've just thought, I don't want you radio bods missing out. If it's good enough for the TV, it's good enough for you. Right, so, I'm going to say the C word for you too. Okay, here goes. Listeners of a nervous disposition might want to cover their ears. Clarkson! Yeah, how'd you go in there? You thought I was going to say...
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Coleshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Nev Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Coleshaw, Roderick Crooks, Simon Blackwell, Colin Birch and Richard Ward. The producer was Katie Tyrrell. It was devised by Bill Dare.